Welcome to Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop, where you'll find the unique, the bizarre, and sometimes the haunted. Feel free to look around, peruse the items, and never fear, there's nothing here that bites. Hard anyway. Hello there, welcome back to Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. I am your shopkeeper, Chris Baker, and I'm so glad you stopped by the shop today because I have a section of the shop. I know we've been here before. Of course, this section of the shop, if you'll follow me this way, this is a section of the shop where we have various instruments of weaponry in defense of the evils of the occult. Now, over here in particular is our section of crucifixes used in everything from possessions to vampires. Some of these crucifixes quite ornate, some quite simple. You'll notice that all of them bear some sort of marks of their battles, but some of these crucifixes show the blood of those wielding them, because as we've found out in various iterations of vampires, not every weapon works the same. And it's that made me think of today's episode of Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. So let's pull out the kinetoscope and take a look at the new film, Abigail. So Abigail is a movie that I've been seeing the trailer for it in almost every horror movie that I've gone to over the past several months. And I have to say, right off the bat, when I first saw the trailer, I thought, okay, this is just cheap pigeonholing. We're going to do a ballerina vampire, and that's going to be the hook. And to me, it felt no different than, okay, let's do a movie about a plumber vampire, and let's do a movie about a nurse vampire, and let's do a movie about a train conductor vampire. It felt like, oh, we're just trying to take a genre, the vampire genre, and put some very specific thing, attach that very specific thing to our vampire and call it a movie. And I really felt like, oh, this is just going to be kind of one of those vapid vampire films that's just going to be very cookie cutter. But the more I saw the cast and the more I watched the trailers and really kind of paid attention a little closer to the trailer, I thought, okay, this, maybe I'm looking too far into this. Maybe I'm not looking into it enough. Maybe this is a movie that could be good because the cast is fantastic, and we'll go over that here shortly. The more and more I saw the trailer leading up to movies I had been watching, the more and more I was looking forward to this movie. And I thought, okay, this movie could actually be pretty good. And I have to say right off the bat, I wasn't disappointed. This movie was excellent. I've been really impressed so far in 2024. Some of the horror movies we've got, some of them are fairly cookie cutter, some of them are fairly standard, but we've had some really good movies over the past couple weeks. Just with last week, we had Arcadian and Sting. I thought were both really good. This was another level of quality horror. Granted, it leans into comedy, but we'll talk about how this isn't your typical horror comedy. But it's produced and directed by the guys at Radio Silence, directed by Matt Bettinelli-Olpin and Tyler Gillette. Of course, if you're not familiar with them, they did a piece in the first VHS movie. They've gone on to be a part of the, I don't want to say reboot of the franchise, but they've been very instrumental in VHS 94, 99, and 85. They did the last couple Scream movies. They're doing a sequel to Escape from New York. So these guys have been a part of genre for quite some time, and for my money, have done a pretty good job. I've been really happy with a lot of the things I've seen from Radio Silence. So I automatically was like, okay, this even interests me more because I've been a bit of a fan of theirs for a little while now. But they did a good job, good cast, really good story, interesting story, and a lot of horror and scary horror, fun horror. So we're going to get into some spoiler territory. If you haven't checked out Abigail, go check it out in theaters now. Come back and listen to my thoughts on this movie. If you have watched or you don't care one way or the other, we are going to head directly into some spoiler territory. So first and foremost, I have to talk about this cast. This cast was a wonderful ensemble cast, and I loved how they named all the characters after members of the Rat Pack. They didn't come out and say it overtly. It was something if you knew, you knew. But then, of course, somebody had to put two and two together later for those that didn't know. And that was kind of a fun Giancarlo Esposito moment in this movie. But this movie stars Melissa Barrera as Joey. I thought she did a really good job. I was a really big fan of hers, and she's part of the reason why I'm not a fan of the Scream franchise, but I really liked the last two Scream movies. 5 and 6. And then that may have had a part with Radio Silence doing them. 5 was a movie that I was like, I like this a lot better than the other ones. And then 6 was the first Scream movie. I was like, oh, I really dug that movie. But she's a part of that. And I really like her as an actress because she has, she has a toughness about her. She can play the final girl. She can play the hero. But she also has a side of her that is very empathetic when you learn her backstory about her son and her problems with drugs and things, and you really feel and connect with this character, and I think that's a lot with Melissa Barrera's performance. Dan Stevens is Frank. I love Dan Stevens. I've loved everything I've seen him in. I can't say I love everything he's in because I don't think I've seen everything he's in, but I loved him in Legion, The Man Who Invented Christmas. He was just in Godzilla vs. Kong, which from a cast standpoint, he was one of the standouts in a really dull human story. Well, maybe I'll do an episode on that, or at least a random curiosity to give you my thoughts on Godzilla X Kong sometime. But at any rate, really love Dan Stevens. He can play a good guy, but he can play a son of a bitch, and he plays a real son of a bitch in this movie, and just adds a lot of weight to this guy who, all of these characters, very complicated characters, and this is kind of a murderer's row of bad people, or people that do bad things. They may not all be bad people, but they're bad guys. They steal and they're, doing shady things, and they've been brought together as this team to kidnap this girl, Abigail. But as bad guys go, he is, he kind of adds the weight that you need for kind of, if Melissa Barrera's Joey is the protagonist, he's a bit of the antagonist, aside from Abigail. Will Catlett is Rickles, not an actor I'm terribly familiar with, but I really liked his role in this. He plays the tough Marine and kind of one of those bad guys who is a good guy sort of situation. Catherine Newton as Sammy, love her. She, of course, plays Cassie Lang in the Ant-Man Quantumania. She was in Lisa Frankenstein, fantastic actress, and she adds such a fun vibe to any cast, and just her performance and the character she plays in this really amps that up. Kevin Durant is Peter. I'm always a huge fan of his, and a lot of times he gets typecast as the big dumb tough guy, and that's what he's typecast in this, but I've loved everything. Is in 310 to Yuma, he played a bastard in that. Loved him as the big lovable, not terribly bright guy from Mystery Alaska, probably one of the first movies I really seen him in, but he's always wonderful in whatever he plays. Angus Cloud was kind of tragic. He plays Dean, and a very troubled character and a very troubled man. Of course, passed away last summer, an accidental drug overdose. And so it's such a shame because he did a good job in this movie. I'm not very familiar with his work. He was in Euphoria, which is something I've never seen, but I've heard a lot of people love it and a lot of buzz about that show. But it's a shame he couldn't see the finished product because he did a really good job with this character. And then Giancarlo Esposito plays Lambert. He is the guy that's kind of brought all these bad guys together to kidnap Abigail and bring her to this like almost abandoned mansion. It's very run down, but it's very old. You can tell it's filled with a lot of things and antiques and bizarre and creepy things. And that's one of the things that added to the atmosphere of this movie. This movie almost had like a haunted house vibe to it, a Dracula's castle vibe to it. And that really played into the cat and mouse of this whole movie. So they did a really good job setting up this cast. They had a really wonderful scene. And I'm not big on exposition scenes. And this, I think, was two movies that we're going to be talking about this week. We're going to be talking about Abigail, as we're talking about right now. And then on Thursday's show, we're going to be talking about the new Rebel Moon movie, the sequel, or the part two, The Scargiver. Both of those movies had an exposition scene where you're learning about this cast of characters. And it was a really interesting study on how to do it right and how to do it horrible. Not to give away what we're going to talk about on Rebel Moon, but the Rebel Moon was just a bunch of people sitting around the table, and here's my story, and here's my story, and here's my story, and here's my story. And it was just some of the worst exposition I've ever seen. Whereas in this movie, they did it so much better. You have this character, Joey, who they never really give a reason why she's so intuitive, but she's the kind of person that perceives things and kind of can draw a lot of intuitive knowledge. And she kind of has the scene where she kind of tells everybody what she perceives that they are and what they've done and who they are. And she's right. And it was an interesting scene. I don't know as if it's breaking any new ground. I'm not saying that we've never seen this before, but I thought it was a really interesting way to give these characters backstory without them just sitting around a table like in Rebel Moon Part 2 and telling everybody their effing backstory. So, you know, that's a wonderful part of the script. And I thought the script was really good in regards to that, in regards to telling a story and in regards to the dialogue and the interactions of all these characters. Everything felt natural and everything was really interesting. These were a lot of really interesting characters, diverse characters, not just by the color of their skin, but into who they are as people and their backgrounds. And I thought, you know, those types of stories with rich characters that have a backstory that you may not know at all, but you get enough of it to understand how they tick a little bit and without going into a ton of exposition. So that I really enjoyed about this. But I think that these interesting characters with this setting and this creepy old mansion, it just set an atmosphere that already had you kind of locked in as I'm interested about these characters and they're in this creepy house and what the hell is going to happen to them. And it was all done just so well in setting up this story. Now, the one thing I was really disappointed about in this movie is, especially after watching the movie, because in the trailer, they spill the beans. Abigail is a vampire. And you get that whole line from the Catherine Newton character, Sammy, a ballerina vampire. And they give that away. And they should, I get it from a marketing standpoint, that is the hook. A little girl, ballerina vampire. That is what's going to get teens into the seats. But it really, in the story, it played like a mystery. I think that's really what the guys from Radio Silence intended, for this to be a mystery, that you're not supposed to know that this little girl, Abigail, is a vampire. And a lot of these creepy things start happening and people start dying and there's a mystery as to what's going on. And then there's the reveal that it is this girl, she is a vampire. And it would have worked with this movie. And you could have cut a trailer to make this seem like a horror movie, seem like a vampire movie without revealing that it's Abigail. And I think it would have served this movie a lot better from a mystery standpoint, from a storytelling standpoint. It was an excellent part of the story that they just kind of wrecked because the trailer, somebody, I don't know whether it was the studio or whoever cut the trailer, or maybe the guys from Radio Silence decided after the fact that let's give this a ballerina vampire hook. But somebody made the decision to spill the beans on it. Now, granted, where that mystery is wrecked by the trailer, there is another mystery in this as to why Abigail is doing this. You really think in the trailer, okay, maybe she's a vampire and she has this I like to play with my food line. And you're thinking, okay, maybe it's her father or somebody has brought all these people there just for her to feed. But it's more than that. You get that excellent story about how she's the one that's orchestrated this and how they've all had pasts where they've wronged her father or somebody that he works with in some way. And that was a real interesting mystery to unfold. I just wish they would have treated the Abigail being a vampire a little bit more like a mystery. You could have cut the trailer in such that these people have kidnapped her and all of a sudden people start to drop off, and you could have had like some sort of hint that maybe it's her, maybe she's a vampire, but not come right out and say it. I think the movie would have been better served, but like I said, people are going to go just because, oh, ballerina vampire, I've never seen that before, that looks fun. But once they reveal her as a vampire, that's when the shit really gets going. And it really is an excellent, one of the excellent examples of how you combine practical and digital effects. They did a wonderful marriage of both. I was really impressed with that, because a movie like this, you know, if it were like a Blumhouse movie or something like that, they'd probably use some practical effects, but it'd be a lot of CG. And this did have a lot of CG. It had a lot of CG blood, but the CG blood wasn't horrible. And they used a lot of practical effects for the vampires. The vampire teeth, I'm pretty sure those were some sort of prosthetic, maybe enhanced a little bit by CG, but you could tell by the way they were talking that they had something in their mouth as they're acting. When Abigail becomes a vampire, when Sammy, when Giancarlo Esposito's character becomes is a vampire, you can tell that there's a lot of practical, and they used a lot of CG blood, but they also used a lot of practical blood as well. And it was such a gory movie that I absolutely loved it. And some of the applications of the gore, some of the ways in which they did the gore was really fun, because they explored the lore of these vampires. They explored the lore of vampires in general, but also the lore of these vampires, because once they realize that Abigail's a vampire, this is a world where vampires are a thing, and we've seen movies about vampires, so they go through all the lore of what kills a vampire: stake through the heart, crucifix, sunlight, garlic, and they start using all these weapons against Abigail. And it's fun when the crucifix doesn't work and she takes the cross from Kevin Durant's character and stabs him in the chest multiple times with it. When the Sammy character has the thing of garlic, the mesh bag of garlic, and Abigail grabs it from her and then gives it a good sniff, showing that that doesn't work either. The only two things that really they show work is a stake through the heart and sunlight. And whenever any of these two things hit the vampire, they explode like nobody's business. And that was fun. But I like how they explored vampire lore through what we think we know, and they talked about that. But then what is the lore with these vampires? They showed us. And it wasn't just an exposition dump somewhere along the way where some old foremost expert on vampires tells them. What we get to see what works and what doesn't work as they're fighting. And that, to me, was really fun. That's another thing I really loved about this movie, was the fact that it was such a fun and funny movie. I mean, it had a lot of humor in it. But it was humor in the reactions. It was humor in the banter back and forth between characters. It was humor in the sense of, oh shit, did that just happen, sort of sense. It wasn't your traditional horror comedy, which I was afraid this was going to be. And I'm not a huge fan. I mean, some horror comedies are good, but this, it was a horror movie straight up that had some funny moments in it. And I think that's one of the things I liked about this, was the fact that it took itself serious as a horror movie and not a comedy that has horror in it. This was a horror that had some comedy in it. But it is also in the same vein. It was a movie that knew what it was. It knew it was a vampire movie. It knew it was kind of playing off some of those old vampire tropes. And it was very self-aware in that this movie wasn't trying to be anything more or anything less than what it was. It's just a fun vampire movie that had some scares and had some gore. And it knew what it was. It knew what it wanted to be, and it executed that. And as far as the comedy in this, I won't get into every funny moment. There were several funny moments, but I have to mention the one moment that had me laughing out loud. And I went to a matinee early on a Saturday morning. I think the showtime was like 10 o'clock. And there were like a handful of people there, probably a half a dozen of us or so. But I burst out laughing when everyone else was just kind of tee-hee and chuckling to themselves when they're going over what they need to battle a vampire. And, okay, you go get this and you go get that. And they send the Catherine Newton character, Sammy, to go get garlic from the kitchen. And Dan Stevens and Melissa Barrera are talking, and Catherine Newton comes back and tosses a bag down on the ground, says, "Got him." And Dan Stevens is finishing what he's saying to Melissa Barrera, and then as he finishes, and he says to Catherine Newton, "And those are onions." It was the delivery and the timing was just hilarious. And like I said, it's not a lot of set up punchline laugh sort of jokes. It is a lot in how people react to the situations that they find themselves in that are very, very comical and made this comedy within the horror movie that much more enjoyable. And one of the things beside, like I said, the fantastic acting, the fantastic script and direction, and the fantastic effects is the music of this. The score for this movie to me was almost like, I don't want to say another character, because that is a little cliche, and you know, how do you quantify that? But Brian Tyler did the score for this, and the music was so haunting, and it really lent itself to the atmosphere. You know, if you look at the house and the atmosphere of the setting that they're in as a character, the music to this movie has to go hand in hand with that, because it really set a tone and added to the tension of these scenes. That they did a really good job with this tension, because like I said, even though you knew Abigail was a vampire, the way the movie played, you wouldn't be sure if you didn't have that spoiled for you in the trailer. And they did a really good job setting tension of who is doing this, who is killing all these people, and who is creating all this havoc. And the tension really builds, and the music is a huge part of that. And especially that Abigail Sweet song. It's kind of like the theme for this movie. It's just very haunting and eerie. And I don't mean this in a bad way. I mean this in the best way possible. This is the kind of score, this is the kind of song, this Abigail Sweet song, this is the kind of music that you would expect to hear in a vampire movie. And like I said, hopefully that doesn't come across as saying it's cliche or anything like that, because it's not. But when I'm watching a vampire movie, I want the music to be like this. I guess that's probably a better stated what I mean. And Brian Tyler did a really good job. And they had some really cool needle drops. The one I loved the most was Glenn Danzig's Blood and Tears. And to see the ballerina scene with Abigail and Sammy and to this song. And of course, nothing goes better with horror than a Danzig tune. What was that? Was it Thanksgiving? They had Where Eagles Dare by The Misfits at the end of that. I can't remember. There was some horror movie I saw not too long ago that had Misfits in it. And was an excellent way to punctuate that. Of course, Glenn Danzig, huge horror fan. So it was cool to hear him in this movie. But yeah, this movie was everything you would want in a vampire horror film. Lots of blood, lots of guts, lots of decapitations, lots of interesting kills and fun kills in a very horrific way, until you get down to the final girl, Joey, played by Melissa Barrera. And I kind of like how Abigail is this kind of antagonist, but you realize that the Dan Stevens character, Frank, is an even bigger antagonist, and Abigail kind of joins forces with Joey to take on him, and they of course defeat him after he becomes a vampire. And I really liked that whole final confrontation. That to me was fun, because it very much, I mean, you figured you knew how it was going to play out. Maybe not exactly, but you knew the Abigail and Joey were going to win in the end. But the tension that it set up, and then the payoff when they do triumph, was really good. But then there is a cameo at the end of the movie where Abigail's father, and Abigail is a complicated character. She's a vampire. She's been a vampire for centuries, it seems. Her father You know, there's a backstory there where her father created her, but then lost interest in her, and he's kind of been an absentee parent. And that's a theme throughout this. Joey has been an absentee parent to her son because of her drug addiction. But Abigail's father comes home, and it's none other than the actor Matthew Good. And I'm a huge fan of his. I loved him in Discovery of Witches, where he played a vampire. This movie shows that he could have been a really scary and menacing vampire if that Discovery of Witches was a different show completely. But I really loved him showing up. And he plays this character, Christoph Lazar. He's a crime lord. And Abigail, throughout this whole movie, talks about her father and kind of keeps begging the question, don't you know who he is? Don't you know my father? Or you know my father? And it seems like, oh, well, he's a big crime lord. Everybody probably knows about him from the news or whatever. But then when he shows up and he's kind of stalking Joey, she asks him or says, you know, you're Lazar. And he has this line that goes, I've had many names. And I almost wondered at the time if this isn't a reference to the fact that he is Dracula. Now, they never come right out and say it, and you really have to piece things together. But that kind of, I don't want to say it was confirmed, but in doing research after watching this movie, I found out that Open and Gillette based this movie off the 1936 classic Dracula's Daughter, the Universal monster movie Dracula's Daughter. And this is kind of a loose reimagining of that. And I almost think, I remember hearing that Dracula's Daughter was the original title of this movie, but then they made it Abigail, and then obviously took Dracula out of it. But I think there's a lot that alludes to Matthew Good's character, the Christoph Lazar character, being Dracula or a version of Dracula. So that to me was kind of fun. And it also opens up to the Radio Silence guys doing things in the future, playing off of these Universal monster movies and the Universal monsters. I think that would be fun to see, maybe not a sequel to this, but something happening in the same universe as this. So all in all, wonderful movie. I really enjoyed Abigail. I thought, as I said, a brilliant cast. I really didn't get to talk about Alicia Weir. Not a young actress that I'm very familiar with. I know she was in that Matilda the musical that came out here a little while ago, but she is a star on the rise. She is a fine young actress, and this movie, she's going to get a lot of work from this movie because she ran the gamut of emotion, being the scared, frightened child, being the child that is vulnerable because she has an absentee father and trying to relate to Joey, the manipulation that she played, and then the sheer menace that this child was able to exude as a vampire was very impressive. You know, it had a lot to do with, I'm sure, the writing and the direction, but she had to pull it off. And Alicia Weir pulled off menace better than some kids, better than some adults can pull off menace in a movie. And I thought she just did a fantastic job. For as much as this had a star-studded cast, Melissa Barrera, Dan Stevens, Caitlin Newton, who's a fine young actress in her own right and becoming a star, I think. Kevin Durand, Giancarlo Esposito, and Matthew Good. Fantastic actors. But really, they were all upstaged by this little girl who did a wonderful job as Abigail and really made this movie. She maybe didn't carry the movie because she didn't have to carry the movie. There's a lot of other veteran actors and actresses who could help share the load. But I don't know, man. If she had to, I think she could have. And Alicia Weir, wonderful job. Can't wait to see the trajectory of her career continue off of this. I think she's going to get a lot of work because of this role. So, wonderful movie. It had all you would want in a horror movie, all you would want in a vampire movie. It had the atmosphere, the creepiness, the tension, everything you'd want from a grand old house or castle that almost feels labyrinth-like at times, and a vampire chasing down these people and picking them off one by one. It had all that, but it had humor, it had heart, and it had a really good story that didn't get bogged down in itself. I think it could have It could have easily gotten bogged down in itself, but I think the writing team of Stephen Shields and Guy Busick, I thought they did an excellent job of crafting this story. And an excellent vampire entry in 2024's pantheon of horror films. And I, for one, really loved Abigail. And hopefully you did too. If you got a chance to see it, hopefully you loved it as much as I did. If you haven't seen it, go check it out, because it is definitely worth watching. If you love horror movies with a little bit of humor and a lot of fun and buckets full of blood and gore, this is right up your alley. So go check it out. Abigail, excellent movie. Glad I watched it. Hopefully you get a chance to watch it as well. Want to thank everyone for listening to my thoughts on Abigail. You can check out more of what's going on with Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop on our Facebook and Instagram pages. We're always posting about horror, fantasy, and science fiction. No matter where you're listening to this podcast, please like, subscribe, follow it. That way you can stay on top of all the latest episodes. Leave those reviews. 5 stars would be awesome. But most importantly, share this podcast with anyone that you know that loves horror, fantasy, and science fiction. We do greatly appreciate it. Help get the word out and spread the word about what we're doing here. And hopefully if you enjoy it, people you know will enjoy it as well. So I want to thank everyone for listening, and until next time. Thank you for visiting Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. We hope that you found something to your liking and visit the shop again soon. But even though you may come back, you never really get to leave Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. Ha 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 ha.